chapter 3, looking on this graduation Sunday under the idea of refining moments. Last week we looked at defining moments and things in our life that we can look back at and that either we have allowed other people to define for us or we define for ourselves that this has changed the trajectory of my life. And we looked at King Lemuel's mother talked about him, that he needed to have a disciplined life and be diligent, because when you walk with God, you can have God begin to define the course and the trajectory of your life. And we looked at 6 spiritual disciplines, and I encourage you to thank God for the ones that you're doing well on and those others that you might need to be working on, to make a commitment that you're going to be to work that discipline into your life and share that with an accountability partner or someone that would pray along with you on that. So I looked at that. I know that public commitment is stronger than personal commitment. I mean, there's a lot of times in my life where I said I'm going to lose weight, and I've just told myself, and guess what? I didn't lose weight. Okay, but when I tell other people, hey, I'm going to do this, then I know that they might check up on it. And so here's the area of my discipline that I am working on, and that is in fervent prayer. You know, I think some of them I'm doing pretty good on the disciplines at, but this particular one, so you can pray for your pastor in this discipline of fervent prayer, because I realized in my walk with God that as I apply scripture and as I worship him passionately and as I serve enthusiastically and do those other things, that sometimes I have a tendency to, you know, God, I know you know about this, and I'll just go ahead and apply scripture and not really call into being that which I don't see. And so I want, I believe the Spirit of God wants to work in my life in the area of fervent prayer, because we know that the prayer of a righteous person, the Word of God says, avails much. And I want God's Spirit to be able to do much in my life, in our church, and in your lives as well. To define is to determine with precision, to mark out with distinctiveness and ascertain or exhibit clearly. To refine is to go through a process, often a painful process, of bringing out impurities and things, whether in material or in a person's life. And at least 12 times in the Bible, God is referred to as a refiner, a refining fire. And our relationship with God is one of refinement. Not only do we have the hope of heaven, but we have this process, this big word that we use in the church called sanctification. It means setting apart. God wants to set us apart. And Jesus talked about God's pruning in our life and God working out our his will and his purpose in our life. God's desire is not just for us to know that we are sinners and someday we're going to go to heaven. His interest is that we would be shaped and formed to the image of his Son. And that process is going to require some refining in our life. And here's what I'm going to tell our graduates today. That's going to include some difficulties in life as well. Because God whispers to us, as one person said. I think of a Spurgeon that said this. He whispers this to us in our joys, but he shouts to us in our pains. There's a time in which we listen more to God when we realize how much more we need God. And the people of God in the book of Malachi have been freed from the Babylonian captivity. Jerusalem is being reestablished. Their temple has been built, and the sacrifices to God have resumed. But in the course of God restoring the nation back again, they have become complacent in their walk with God. And so God, through Malachi, confronts the people for being half-hearted. He rebukes them, interesting enough, by appealing to the love of God. Now, when we typically think about the love of God in our minds and in our culture, we tend to think of things enjoyable and pleasant and desirable and rewarding. This really feels good, therefore, I'm living in love. But Malachi's appeal here is that God doesn't want us to be half-hearted, and because of that, out of his love, he's going to refine his people. He's going to take them through a process that at times will be painful, because God in his love is jealous for you. And just as a loving father won't let harm come to his children by way of their nonchalant hard-heartedness, Malachi reminds the people of God, our God is a refining fire, and he will burn away the impurities as he washes away their sins. So would you stand with me in honor of the word of God? Malachi chapter 3. I'm reading at verse 1 through verse 6. I'm going to read for a public reading here out of the New American Standard Version. God speaking, he says, "Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me." Now, in this day, that was referred to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was going to be the forerunner. He was going to prepare the way of the Lord. This is a promise of the coming of Jesus. "He will clear the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So everything that they're looking for, the Messiah is coming. And then it takes kind of an ominous turn here. "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver. And he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment, and I will be swift witness against sorcerers and against adulterers and against those who swear falsely and against those who oppress wage earner his wages, the widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." Father, thank you that your love toward us is constant. It does not change. Your love never fails. And because you love us, you always desire our good and your glory. And in order for that to come about, for the goodness of God to be seen in us and lived out through us, Lord, we need to embrace the refining fire of God in our life. So teach us today, Lord, from your word. May our hearts be encouraged. May we have strength for the journey. And may we also be able to speak into other people's lives about our God who is living and active and at work in our world today. In Jesus' name, amen. God in his love for us desires for us to be defined by his word. The word of God is to be lived out. After all, it's given to us not for our information, but it's given to us for our transformation. And God will refine us, and refining is painful. It's often slow. It can't be rushed. It's usually met with resistance. Anybody agree with me? It's met with resistance from us. However, it's necessary. Because the Bible is replete with examples about how fiery trials or how difficulties, how various trials build strength of character and inner resolve, a singular focus on not just what is important, but what is essential. And as I thought about this being graduation day, it's a day of celebration. It's a day marked by achievement, reflection, and perspective. Probably the most common question is, so what are you going to do? What are your plans? And some are very specific and others are still in the consideration stage, and that's all okay. But everyone is encouraged. If you went and looked at graduation cards, it's, you know, follow your dreams, chase your ambitions, the sky is the limit. Probably at no other time in our life does the potential of what that individual has is called into other than the birth of a child. I mean, they can become anything they want to be. Go pursue it. And I think that's all well and good. But the reality is that often our dreams and plans often run into unexpected twists and turns. Even things we prayed for and believed that God would bring about at times don't come about the way that we planned it. In fact, in the Bible, you will see a pattern. God often gives dreams to people, and then those dreams have to be laid down, and there's a death of the dream, and there is a resurrection of what God's good work is going to do in his people's life. But let's face it, when things go well and when our prayers are answered and when we land the job, when we get the scholarship, when we get to the school of our dreams, when everything seems to be going, it's easy for us to say, well, it's a God thing. I mean, this is a God thing. I can see God's hand at work. But when we get the rejection letter, when relationships turn sour, when all of a sudden we have a health diagnosis, it's not as easy to say, well, this is a God thing. In fact, it's easy to say, where is God in all of this? And so I think in the midst of our faith and looking forward to the good things God has to us, we also have to be honest and say, God is honest with us and say, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. God's not abandoning you. It may be evidence that God is refining you. And if that were the case, then we, each of us are in a long line of history of the people of God that he worked through to make an eternal impact. The truth is, our dreams aren't always realized. Hopes are often dashed. Excitement for the future can be easily turned into fear of the present. But what will you do when life takes an unexpected turn, that a difficulty stands between you and your dreams? Now, yesterday was a day in my life that was like the lives of many other homeowners. I had a situation in which I was going to have to do a minor plumbing project. Why are you laughing, you know? And so I went to the hardware store, and I got the tools that I needed, and I figured out a plan that was going to fix my plumbing issue. And I put it together, and I was so sure of my design and things that were working, I didn't really need to test it. I went ahead and glued the parts together and did all of that thing. No need to call a professional because I can do it yourself, and after all, we have YouTube. All right? So I did that, and I hooked things up, ready to go. It happened to be with our washing machine and, you know, diverting the water that's in there. And so I had it all set up, and I put a rinse and spin cycle on it, had it going, and my son was shooting baskets out in the driveway. And so I said, well, I'm just going to wait for that water. I'll hear when it starts draining and things. And so we played a couple games of horse, and I would go check in, and everything seemed to be okay. And after the second game of horse, I went in there and walked into my laundry room, and there was water all over the floor. So after I cleaned it up, Marilyn heard the shot back and, you know, came down. So I went down the totem pole as the professional, I guess, of doing it. And then after rethinking the design and talking to my father-in-law, I went back out there. It took a little bit longer than I expected it was going to be. And so now I'm pleased to tell you that I have a temporary fix to a more permanent problem, okay? But it reminded me of a quote by C.S. Lewis that says this, something like this: all that is not eternal is eternally useless. All that is not eternal is eternally useless. The original quote was actually, all that is not eternal is eternally out of date. But I like the revision of is eternally useless. Listen, there are things in your life and mine that are of no eternal value. And God is preparing each of us for eternity. And one day we will stand before him completely made whole. But this process of refining, we're going to see how God in his love refines us, because he has a purpose he wants to do in your life today. Jeremiah was a devoted follower of God. He's also known as the weeping prophet. Following God cost him dearly in his life. This is the prophet who wrote Jeremiah 29:11. You know, this one that we, in fact, the little bags that we give to our graduates today are going to have Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for